I promise on my honor to be faithful and loyal to Ghana, my motherland. I pledge myself to the service of Ghana with all my strength and with all my heart. I promise to hold in high esteem our heritage won for us through the blood and toil of our fathers. And I pledge myself in all things to uphold and defend the good name of Ghana, so help me God.
Time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Samuel Essa
and Jonathan Thompson.
In the headlines, TUC blames past policies for current state of economy. Moderator of EP Church appeals to government and labor unions to resort to dialogue to resolve differences. Chairman of Media Commission calls for a generation of future leaders with honesty and integrity. U.S. envoy in Cairo to hold talks with military-backed government. And security forces and polling officials kickstart early elections in Zimbabwe. First, a summary by Jonathan Thompson.
The director of the Labour Research and Policy Institute at the TUC, Kwabena Nyakunwutu, says most of the economic policies implemented by the NDC and MPP have not translated into sustainable solutions to address challenges of the country's economy. Speaking on GTV's Talking Point last night, he said low growth of the manufacturing and agricultural sectors are consequences of those bad policies. The Western Presbytery Synod moderator of the Evangelical Presbyterian Church, Reverend Gabriel Akoli, has recommended dialogue and other official mediation processes as ways of resolving differences between governments and agitating parties on the labor front. He gave the recommendations at the induction service of Reverend Cephas Kwei as the EP Church resident pastor of Todome District in the Volta region. The chairman of the National Media Commission, Cabral Bleyamihia, says Ghana's current challenges can be solved if the generation of present and future leaders are trained to uphold honesty, integrity, compassion and love for the nation. Mr. Bleyamihia said this at the media launch of the annual National Congress of the Deeper Life Campus Fellowship in Accra. And Zimbabwean electoral officials and security personnel have begun exercising their franchise ahead of the 31st July general elections. About 8,000 people, most of whom are police officers, would participate in the early voting at 209 polling stations nationwide. The main contenders for the presidential election are veteran President Robert Mugabe and his long-term rival, Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai.
Radio Ghana, meeting the news challenge with credible information.
The news in detail. The Trades Union Congress, TUC, has blamed the current state of the economy on bad policies implemented by the NPP and the NDC over the years. In its view, most of the economic policies pursued by both regimes did not offer sustainable solutions to challenges of the economy. The director of the Labour Research and Policy Institute at the TUC, Kwabena Nyakunwutu, who made the remarks on GTV's current affairs program Talking Point, cited low growth of the manufacturing and agricultural sectors as consequences of these policies.
Our problems basically is the way and manner economic policy has been conducted in this country, generally. And when I talk about economic policy, I'm not sure the economic policy being implemented today by NDC is radically different from what was implemented by the NPP. You understand? There may be differences in the styles of management, but fundamentally the economic policies are the same. We have an economy that is growing and nobody can take it away from government. Over the past 5 years, we've had GDP averaging about 8.7%. We've sustained an inflation in single digit for over 3 years. These are fantastic indicators. The challenge for the TUC, and I believe for many Ghanaians, is that these growth rates, like the growth rates recorded on the MPP under the NDC 1 and 2, have failed to create jobs, which are the issues that are of importance to Ghanaians. That when people have gone through school, incurred expenditure, and we have encouraged them to do so, they expect that their children will come out of school and find jobs, especially when we are told that the economy is growing. Again, the growth that we are recording does not tally with the kind of social and economic services that we enjoy as a country. You find it difficult to understand an economy that is growing, having reduced inflation to such low levels, and we have interest rates in excess of 25%. A situation where government itself sometimes borrow in excess of 20%. These are the disconnects that we identify in the economy. There are issues with the way we manage the already bad policies. But the fundamental crux of the issue is that we have a general economic framework that, in our view, can only give some temporary growth, some temporary relief in the areas of inflation. But these are not sustainable.
The ranking member for finance and MP for Old Tafo, Dr. Anthony Akotose, attributed the current state of the economy to excessive expenditure by government during the elections last year.
Last year, 2012, was a bad year. 2009, government overspent the Appropriations Act by 300 million. 2010, it went up to 800 million. Now, that is illegal. When you go beyond the Appropriations Act, you are breaking the law. 2011, it went to 1.3 billion. But 2012, guess what? 4.8 billion cedis over the ceiling. And you think that when you do that, you're going to get away? It's not a surprise. You are in government. When you come and tell me that I have left a debt of 1.8 billion, what I expect you to do is to bring down the debt, not to go from 1.8 to 5.4 billion. And you tell me that, because you said that MPP has done badly. So I don't expect you to leave me a 12% deficit.
The Minister of State at the Presidency in charge of financial and allied institutions, Fifi Kwete, believes the economy is not in a bad state as is being portrayed. He maintains that the economy is on a sound footing and the government is only widening the tax net to raise more revenue to sustain the economy.
At the moment as we speak, we are looking at public sector wage, that average debt is in the region of about 7 billion cedis on an annual basis. Now, that is a massive increase in public sector wage. Meanwhile, all people who manage an economy everywhere in the world will tell you, the very first call on any revenue is wages. The first thing you do, there's no excuse. You cannot give an excuse for not being able to meet wages. After you meet wages, the second call has to do with interest payment. You need to make sure those two go first before any other thing are considered. Subsequent to that, then you have to be looking at other statutory payments that need to be done. Then finally, you have to look at your public administration. Then eventually, you have to look at the infrastructure in your country. If you have to literally contend with 7 billion for public sector, well, you need to be able to let the people of Ghana know that this is the sense of the sacrifice we all are making. And any government is the fact that such major policies also require the readiness of the people of Ghana to understand that we need to also raise taxes in order to be able to meet it. Because you see what? There are no two ways of going about it. You are either raising taxes to raise revenue, that's I'm talking immediate consideration, or you are going to have to borrow while working very hard to increase that revenue base to enable us to do the rest of the business.
You heard Minister of State at the Presidency in charge of financial and allied institutions, Fifi Kwete.
The EP Synod moderator, Reverend Gabriel Akoli, has appealed to government and other agitating parties engaged in labor brawl in the country to use dialogue and other official mediation processes to resolve their differences. He expressed worry about the negative impact strikes might by medical personnel and other public servants have on socioeconomic development. Reverend Akoli was speaking at an induction service for Reverend Cephas Gbey as the EP Church resident pastor of Further Todome District in the Volta region. 48-year-old Reverend Cephas Gbey served in Madina and Accra New Town Bethel EP Church as catechist before pursuing a career ministry at the EP Seminary. Reverend Akoli urged people serving in leadership positions to uphold virtues of tolerance and patience worthy of emulation by other followers. He denounced the canker of betrayal and undermining of the efforts of leaders who seek to champion the cause of justice, growth and development. Reverend Akoli described Reverend Kwei as a dedicated person whose vision could contribute to the growth of the church. A divisional chief of Todomi Traditional Area, Togbi Agbonude, assured the EP Church of Reverend Kwei's protection, adding that the community recognizes the EP Church as a key stakeholder in education and health. In his acceptance speech, Reverend Kwei pledged his commitment to promoting the favorable growth and development of the church.
A former advisor to the governor of the Bank of Ghana, Reverend Fred Franz, has been consecrated bishop of the Faith Evangelical Mission worldwide. The president of the International Clergy Association, Reverend Dr. Charles Aban, who performed the ceremony, charged the new bishop to let his experience, also as a retired chief executive of the Ghana Interbank Payment and Settlement System, reflect on the growth of the church. He said Christians must not rely on their personal strength, but fall on the grace of the Lord at all times, adding that God's grace is always sufficient for them.
National Women Director of the Church of Pentecost, Mrs. Lucy Yeboah Isiama, has challenged women to lead righteous lives according to the pattern of God. She said living a righteous life brings God's favor and goodwill into a person's life. She urged them not to follow worldly things, since they are a barrier to God's blessings. Mrs. Yeboah said this during the National Women's Convention of the Church of Pentecost in Accra. Naomi Mukasa and Yusuf Isaku have filed this report.
The one-week convention was on the theme, Women Worshipping the Lord in Spirit and Truth. The convention drew members from various branches of the Pentecost Church across the country. Bible verses were read in a sermon delivered to throw more light on the need for women to appreciate their role in society and to strengthen their faith in God. The Pentecost Church, in every 2 years, dedicates 1 week to its women's fellowship to celebrate their convention. It is on this note that the La Area Women's Ministry organized a Thanksgiving service to end the week-long celebration. In an interview with the director of the Women's Fellowship of the Church of Pentecost, Miss Lucy Yeboah emphasized the need for women to remain steadfast in spirit.
We feel that women, we should also be worshiping God in spirit and in truth. So every 3 years, the church gives us a chance to have this convention. So this year, we thought we'll talk about worshiping God in spirit and in truth, because the theme is a personal theme. If every woman in the church is to worship God, who is spirit and not a human being, in truth, then things will improve. The way we relate to our husbands, the way we relate to our neighbors, our community. As you can see, we are about 60% of the church. If each one of us is really worshiping God in spirit and in truth, we'll be able to make a change. We all know our society seems to be sliding, and we need to put it in the right footing. With the Christian principles, we are showing the world that we are different. We'll be able to chalk exploits for the Lord.
Miss Yeboah urged all women to be role models of godliness, chaste living, and self-control.
That was a report by Naomi Mukasa and Yusuf Isaku.
Former First Lady Dr. Nestina Nadu Mills says students will become better future leaders if they allow the Word of God to instruct and guide all aspects of their lives. She said studying the Bible is the only way to help them to live a fulfilled life and effectively serve God, the nation, and humanity. Dr. Nadu Mills gave the advice when she distributed Bibles to students of the new Jabeng Senior High School in the Eastern Region. We bring you Rita Nyakon's report.
Dr. Nadu Mills said the project is a late husband's contribution to foster unity among Ghanaians. She said the Bible holds answers to the challenges of the world, adding that any nation built on the Word of God has a solid and unwavering foundation. Dr. Nadu Mills advised students to read and study the Bible with all the seriousness it deserves, as it has helped her in her personal life.
Encouraging people in Bible use continues to be my personal passion and service. I cannot overstate the value of the Bible in giving meaning and direction to my own life. And in this past year of pain and pressures, the Bible, God's Word, remains my most important source of comfort and solace. if you will devote yourself to learn about Jesus Christ and develop a personal relationship with Him, it will be of great profit to you. You will gain wisdom and understanding from the Bible that you cannot get anywhere else.
The General Director of the Scripture Union Ghana, Kwame Edu, said the Bible defines what the union as an organization stands for, and that is why they are happy in partnering the First Ladies Project. The headmaster of New Jabin Senior High School, Yawa Sante, said the school is privileged to host the former First Lady and thanked her for the donation of 10,000 Ghana cedis towards church activities and projects. Some students of the school expressed their joy about the First Lady's visit.
I was really happy that the late president's wife came to distribute the Bible to us. She said the Bible can really teach us the way that we can live and the way to support us.
I'm privileged that Her Excellency was here. He took a very good decision by distributing the Bible, and I hope it will raise the future generation.
We thank His Excellency for distributing this Bible to us, because we know the Bible is going to impact us. The Bible always teaches us the way we should live to inherit the kingdom of heaven.
The former First Lady has already distributed some of the Bibles to three senior high schools. They are the Brie Girls, Achimota, and the Awudome Senior High Schools.
Rita Nyakon reporting. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana, Accra. The major stories: TUC blames past policies for current state of economy. Moderator of VP Church appeals to government and labor unions to resort to dialogue to resolve differences. Chairman of Media Commission calls for a generation of future leaders with honesty and integrity. U.S. envoy in Cairo to hold talks with military-backed government. And security forces and polling officials kickstart early elections in Zimbabwe.
The chairman of the National Media Commission, Gabrielle Amehe, has prescribed some solutions to the challenges facing the nation. He said the challenges can be solved by the training of a generation grounded in honesty, integrity, compassion, and love for the nation. Ms. Amehe, who was speaking at the media launch of the annual National Congress of the Deeper Life Campus Fellowship, wondered why churches are always filled to capacity every Sunday, yet social vices keep rising, as reported by Brighton Trauma.
The Congress is expected to bring together about 4,000 participants, including students from tertiary institutions, lecturers, administrators, and doctors. It is designed to handle academic challenges of students, which compel some of them to resort to demeaning practices such as prostitution and armed robbery. Mr. Amihie, who was a special guest, hoped the training of these leaders will solve some of the challenges the nation is grappling with. He advocated a society where politics will be a blessing.
This nation is going through a lot of crisis, which crisis all of us are very much aware of. From the political, social, and economic front, there's a lot of chaos that we live with every day. And so there must be a solution. And I think a solution is to have a generation of present and future leaders who are grounded in core values of honesty, integrity, compassion, and love for their neighbors. I think we need to build a caring society where politics will be a blessing to the people in all aspects of our existence. I mean, it's amazing when you consider the number of attendees at churches. You know, every Sunday this country is full of church-going people, then the other religions. And yet, the morning after Sunday, we go back to all the crimes that the Bible teaches against.
The National Coordinator of Deeper Life Campus Fellowship, Pastor Francis Fosu, speaks more about the Congress.
The Deeper Life Campus Fellowship has made it a mandate to meet the nation's intellectual community every year and influence them with the word of God to enable them to become positive change makers who capitalize on their knowledge to lead millions to Christ.
This year's Community Congress is themed OTT 2013. It takes off from the 7th of next month at the Deeper Life Campgrounds, Brofiodu, Kumasi.
That was Brighton Trauma's report.
The New Jabin Municipal Assembly has embarked on a decongestion exercise to remove structures at unauthorized places around the Kofodria Jabin Sewa Market to free pedestrian movement and other commercial activities. The exercise was undertaken around the Accra Kumasi Station and the All Nations University. It was carried out by a joint military police, fire service and the Municipal Assembly Task Force. The Municipal Information Officer, Solomon Jumo, in an interview, said the Assembly had issued warnings to the public before the exercise was carried out. Therefore, no one has cause to complain. He said various meetings were held by the Assembly with the Market Association concerning the decongestion exercise about 2 months ago. Mr. Jumo said the main reason behind the exercise was to prevent congestion in and around the market to avoid fire outbreaks that have recently occurred in principal markets in the country. He said demolition of structures at unauthorized places will pave the way for fire tenders to have access to the market if there is any emergency, and it will also give access to information vans to deliver information in the market.
And talking about fire, the girls' dormitory of the Jessican College of Education was gutted by fire yesterday when the students were at the dining hall. The principal of the college, Riasi Hammond, said he heard loud shouts from the students and quickly rushed to the scene with other teachers to put out the fire. According to him, the dormitory was totally gutted and some students who heard that their belongings were destroyed collapsed and were sent to the hospital. Mr. Hammond confirmed there were no casualties and the fire service was at the scene to help douse the fire.
I heard shout from the ladies' end. I thought one of the ladies had collapsed and they needed help. So I moved my car there. I was getting there. I realized that there were 6 nooks. So I stopped and then rushed the dormitory. And I realized that the fire was burning the dormitory. So I quickly asked some of the students, but the students were in dining then. So I quickly asked those who were around to rush to the administration, to the library, and to the kitchen to bring the fire extinguishers we had over there. So they quickly brought them and then we started fighting the fire with our own fire extinguishers. We called the fire service men to report the case to them. So when our extinguishers got there, exhausted, the students started fighting the fire with sand and water. So in fact, the students fought the fire gallantly. Some of them entered the room and they tried to bring out some of the items in the room. So the fire servicemen came around and then they helped put the fire under control. Meanwhile, some of those students, about 3 students who had some of their personal effects destroyed, collapsed, and we rushed them to the hospital. But completely destroyed.
The principal of Jassy College of Education, Riasi Hammond.
Seasonal or periodic water shortage in the Chiriponi constituency in the northern region has compelled the Member of Parliament for the area, Azuma Namoro Sanda, together with the District Assembly, to take concrete steps to address the challenge. Mr. Sanda told Radio Ghana that he is using part of his common fund to dig boreholes in some communities. The move, he noted, will go a long way to ameliorate the suffering of the people from waterborne diseases.
As I speak today, Chiriponi is faced with a lot of challenges. Lack of potable drinking water, lack of good roads, lack of good health facilities. And when we come to educational sector, it's the same thing. We have only one secondary school in Chiriponi.
Yeah, these are real challenges facing your area. What steps are you taking, initiating to address some of these challenges?
When it comes to water, the government and the district assembly has put in place some measures to solve some of the problems, but that is not enough. And for that reason, I, as an MP, there is an allocation for MPs under HIPIC funds. I'm trying to use that money to support some communities to get boreholes project. As I speak today, Chiriponi itself is faced with water problem because there is a dugout, a dam that is there, and that is where the people get water, which is the water is very bad. It's not good for human beings to drink. But that is what we do.
Mr. Sanda said he is liaising with the Minister of Roads and Highways and other stakeholders in the road sector to re-gravel or tar roads in the constituency, which he described as deplorable. This is to facilitate the movement of goods and services, as well as improve agriculture, which is the mainstay of the people.
All students of WA Methodist School for the Blind in the Upper West Region who have appealed to the Director General of the Ghana Education Service to expedite action for the acting headmaster of the school to hand over to the substantive headmistress, Madam Aishetu Ibrahim, who was appointed several months ago. At the news conference held at WA, the old students said they will resist any attempt by authority to revert her appointment based on her religious background or disability. Correspondent Swala Abdul Wahab reports.
and was given an appointment letter as the substantive headmistress. Mr. Tu explained that after the then substantive headmaster left the school, the Wa Municipal Director of Education, Al-Hassan Suleimana, was asked to act as the headmaster, while Madam Aisha Tu still keeps her appointment letter as the substantive head. Mr. Tu alleged that the Methodist Church, which owns the school, is denying Madam Aisha Tu the position because of her religious background or disability.
It is far from truth that the incessant objection of the Methodist Church to Madam Aisha Tu Ibrahim's appointment as headmistress of the school is because she is a Muslim. This is purely gender discrimination and discrimination against persons with disabilities, which contravenes Act 715 of the Constitution of Ghana.
The old students made a suggestion on how to avoid similar situation in future.
The Methodist Church should listen to the voice of the old boys and allow Madam Aisha Tu Ibrahim to head the school. And then the next time, they should advertise the position indicating that the applicants should be Methodists.
When contacted, the regional director of education, Idrisu Mahama, said a report on the matter has been sent to the national headquarters, but no response is received yet.
Swala Abdul Wahab's report.
Three top officials of the Aguna East District of the Ghana Education Service, GES, and the bank manager from the area have been arrested by the Bureau of National Investigation, BNI, for their alleged involvement in financial fraud. They are Head of Human Resource Department, Douglas Kwabachi, Personnel Human Resource Department, Samuel Mensa, Administrative Officer, Castro Inkum, all from the GES, and Samuel Appa, the bank manager.
The Garu Timpani District Director of Ghana Youth and Entrepreneurial Development Agency, GIDA, has been arrested for allegedly engaging in illegal transactions with Boku East Small Scale Farmers Association Rural Bank. The manager of the bank, Solomon Awini, who caused the arrest, said routine checks of the bank's vouchers revealed that the unnamed GIDA coordinator, in connivance with some bank officials, had opened an illegal account as a means of defrauding the bank. Mr. Awini said the coordinator has fraudulently withdrawn more than 18,000 Ghana cedis from the bank.
On the foreign front, U.S. Deputy Secretary of State William Burns is due to hold talks in Cairo later today with leaders of Egypt's new military-backed government. It is the first visit by a senior U.S. official since the army ousted Islamist President Mohamed Morsi on the 4th of this month. The U.S. says Mr. Burns will call for an end to all violence and a transition leading to an inclusive, democratically elected civilian government. Earlier, Egypt's public prosecutor froze the assets of 14 Islamist leaders. The Muslim Brotherhood head, Mohamed Badi, and his deputy, Khairat al-Shatta, are reported to be among them.
Thousands of police and polling officials in Zimbabwe have begun casting their ballots ahead of the 31st July general elections when they will be on duty. The Zimbabwe Electoral Commission said about 8,000 people, the vast majority being police officers, are expected to participate in the early voting at 209 polling stations nationwide. The special voting heralds the general elections that will determine the president, more than 200 National Assembly members and nearly 2,000 local councillors for the next 5 years.
Football. Premiership side Midiama SC yesterday defeated Kumasi Asante Kotoko 1-0 at the Accra Sports Stadium to lift their first major trophy in their three-year history since joining the Premiership. Theophilos Anoba sent Midiama fans into ecstasy when he found himself in the box unmarked and connected a cross from the right side that sailed into the roof to give the Takwa lads a lead with 4 minutes of play remaining in the first half. Midiama SC produced a determined performance that denied pre-match favourites Kotoko a double after they had won the Premier League last month. Midiama, aside winning the FA Cup and bagging 30,000 Ghana cedis as prize money, will play in their debut African campaign in the CAF Confederation Cup next season.
And now to end the news, the main point again. The director of the Labour Research and Policy Institute and the TUC, Kwabena Nyako Otu, said most of the economic policies implemented by the NDC and MPP have not translated into sustainable solutions to address challenges of the country's economy. Speaking on GTV's Talking Point last night, he said low growth of the manufacturing and agricultural sectors are consequences of those bad policies. The Western Presbytery Synod moderator of the Evangelical Presbyterian Church, Reverend Gabriel Akoli, has recommended dialogue and other official mediation processes as ways of resolving differences between governments and agitating parties on the labor front. He gave the recommendations at the induction service for Reverend Sefaske as the EP Church resident pastor of Todome District in the Volta region. The chairman of the National Media Commission, Cabral Bliamihe, says Ghana's current challenges can be solved if the generation of present and future leaders are trained to uphold honesty, integrity, compassion and love for the nation. Mr. Bley Amihe said this at the media launch of the annual National Congress of the Deeper Life Campus Fellowship in Accra. And Zimbabwean electoral officials and security personnel have begun exercising their franchise ahead of the 31st July general elections. About 8,000 people, most of whom are police officers, would participate in the early voting at 209 polling stations nationwide. The main contenders for the presidential election are veteran President Robert Mugabe and his longtime rival, Prime Minister Morgan Tsvangirai. The news was presented by Jonathan Thompson
and Samuel Essa in Accra.